Hi. So what I would like to do is just provide a little overview of some of the different types of talk, types of language that are used in the classroom. And this is specifically for teachers who are working through a foreign language or maybe in bilingual contexts where more than one language is being used in the classroom. But actually, even if we're only using one language in the classroom, I think it's really important to realise that we're using language in many different ways. So, in addition to the reading and the writing, the speaking and the listening that's going on, the way embodied language is also present, we're using different types of talk and we're using talk for different purposes. So, what I've tried to do is to look at the different ways in which talk is discussed in educational literature, as well as thinking about how I have used talk in the classroom and how others use talk in the classroom, to look at the different purposes of these talk, and then to think, well, what does that mean if I'm teaching through a foreign language? What does that mean for the teacher in terms of what they have to say? But what does that also mean in terms of supporting the pupil's language development? So, what's the role of these different types of talk for the children as they're developing their understanding? I have written about this, and it's freely available online in the Apples Journal, and the title of it is Reconceptualizing Talk in CLIL. But what it tries to do is to present these different types of talk. And the first one is a very common one, is organisational talk. And this kind of organisational talk or organisational language is very much to do with how we're using the here and now, the physical concrete space that we have in the classroom. So it could be like from the please stand up, please sit down, please go to your place, please open the book at page 27. It's very much to do with the immediate environment, the immediate activities, and it's very routine and part of what the everyday is often like in classrooms. And I think this organisational talk is perhaps the easiest one then to do in a foreign language because the children very quickly understand standing up, sitting down, opening books and so on and so forth. But this organisational talk is one part where a colleague of mine used to call it poor man's CLIL, that it's a very sort of low cost model for introducing another language into the classroom environment. But in addition to organisational talk, there's also social talk. And I think this is quite an interesting part. This is maybe the kind of talk that quite often gets shushed out of the classroom. So it's maybe there at the beginning. It's maybe there when the teacher's sort of saying, well, how are you? And how did the homework go? Just sort of chatting on the side, or what kind of activities did you do yesterday? Did you have your hobby in the evening or something like that? Or then between the pairs, between the peers. Pupils speaking to one another about what they've been doing. But this kind of talk, it's not so abstract, it's not so grand, is really important for opening the channel of communication. So just getting used to talking to one another, being ready to talk with one another. That if we want to use talk for actually building understanding, it's very difficult to go in straight away with high-level concepts. We need to start with something that's far more accessible, that's non-judgmental, that's not evaluated. So whether it's children asking one another about their hobbies, whether it's somehow talking about the weather, I think there's a lot of affordance in this space, both for developing ideas, understanding of language, using language, but also putting in place the potential for further learning. So in addition to social talk, there's also exploratory talk. An exploratory talk is something that's been very much developed by Neil Mercer and his colleagues. And they see this as the place in which ideas are really built, where children explore what could be an answer to a problem that they're facing, looking at it from different perspectives, thinking about it in different ways, not accepting the first possible solution, but trying to work together. If you want to genuinely do exploratory talk, you have to be able to talk with one another already. To dare to share your thoughts in progress, that you don't know exactly what the answer is, but maybe it could be. So this is opening up a possible understanding, building on the relationships that have been established elsewhere. Exploratory talk is often disjointed. It's often hesitant. It's not the kind of fluent talk that's expected in a presentation, but it's where ideas and understanding are unfolding. And it quite nicely leads on to, or can do, critical thinking. So not just thinking, could this be the answer? Could this be the explanation? But the critical thinking is more, why would this be the answer? Why would this be an appropriate solution? Maybe it's a solution that's come from the outside. Maybe it's a recommendation that's being given by an environmental body or something. So why is this the way things are? This is where the critical thinking skills come in. And it requires a different kind of language than the exploratory talk, which is the building of the ideas. But none of this would be taking place without the expert talk. And the expert talk is now the key words, the key concepts that are being presented. This has been very abstract so far, but maybe if we take an example of something like the sun rising and the sun setting. Now, in everyday language, it's fine to say that the sun rises and the sun sets. But if you want to really talk about what happens, you need to speak about the Earth orbiting the sun, that we can't have this idea of the sun rising and setting because I think the sun doesn't go anywhere, but the Earth does in its rotations around the sun, whilst it's also the Earth's rotation, whilst it's also orbiting the sun. So all of a sudden, we need to use a different kind of language to work with the concepts. We have to be able to find the key words, the key concepts, and not just use the everyday language that was maybe okay here. So what do we have? We've got setting up of the classroom environment. We've got establishing relationships. We've got exploring ideas. We've got considering critical questions. And then we've also got recognizing the key words, the key concepts that are the expert way of referring to this. And as teachers, we have to think about how can we support developing exploratory language, exploratory talk, as well as expert talk. We can't possibly get them children to do exploratory and critical talk without social. So how can we first find a space for them to think about social talk here? In the work from Mercer and Littleton, they very nicely give some examples of the teachers asking pupils, what kind of language would I expect to hear today? And the children give examples such as, what do you think about this? And why don't we have a look at this instead? So you try to find key phrases that are used that can then fill in the gaps. All of this, however, is a form of meta-talk. The explanations that I'm providing here are thinking about how to use language. And what I'm trying to do in explaining these different kinds of language is a kind of pedagogic talk. This is where we've got the translating back and forth between everyday language and the expert talk. This is where the explanations are taking place. So explanations are taking place here, how to use language here, key concepts, key words here, asking big questions, exploring ideas, establishing relationships, managing the environment. And these different types of talk require different kinds of language. And some of them are easier and some of them are more difficult to use. So I commented at the beginning that this has been referred to as poor man's CLIL. So if we were thinking, how much do we use organisational talk in the foreign language in the classroom? Change the pen. We could quite quickly start to use the organisational talk. It would be much harder to expect the pupils to start using expert talk well, especially if it's not been presented to them or shared with them as to what this expert talk is actually, what it involves. We could maybe have a little bit, we could introduce them to some new words. We can help the children to think about how are they using language? How are we going to try to use the new terminology today, for example? But we wouldn't expect to have as much of that as we had of the organisational talk up here. Maybe little by little, it would be easier to support more and more social talk in the classroom. Not that the class would become chaotic and only to do with social things, but with a view to thinking that if the pupils are used to speaking to one another, it should be easier to explore ideas together. This is not easy. To really explore ideas, to look from different perspectives, to justify why you think something's a possible answer. To do it in a foreign language is even more challenging, but it's not impossible. But it's something that could be included. But what I would try to suggest is, it's important to recognise there are these different kinds of talk, that some are easier, some are more demanding to do. But over time, we need to try to increase the number of all of them. So if, first of all, the organisational talk is in place, the children are familiar and able to use some social talk, we can expect more in terms of the exploratory talk, exploring ideas. So they could also then, over time, increase the amount of exploratory talk that's there in the classroom in the foreign language. In a bilingual classroom, maybe at first the children are allowed to explore the ideas in their mother tongue or in a language that's stronger. Then, as more and more of the expert words are introduced, they might be able to do more exploratory talk, that they can take it further. So it would include this kind of transitional dynamic, that it wouldn't just get used to, okay, this is difficult, we won't do it very much. But over time, we could push forward for doing more. But what I'm hoping is that trying to map out the different types of talk that we use in classrooms helps teachers to navigate a little bit more how we're using talk and what we mean when we think about these different types of talk and how it could then be translated into practice.